If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. I just want to open the show this morning. Two words, Oprah Winfrey. Did you see how big a profit she made?
No.
From, you know, she bought like a tenth of Weight Watchers or more, maybe even more.
She used it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
She sold a quarter of her stake in Weight Watchers International, cashing in big time. Sold shares in the range of 8 to 9 times what she paid for them.
How much did she clear? Does it say?
Oh, my God. Okay, she bought, are you ready for this?
Okay.
10% of the company October 2015.
Okay.
She bought the shares for $6.79.
Uh-huh.
At that time, she received the right to acquire another 5% of the company for $6.97 a share.
Uh-huh.
Earlier this month, she exercised options to purchase more than 1.4 million shares for $6.97 a share.
Okay.
She sold the shares in the range of $58.29 to $63.94. And we're talking millions and millions and millions of shares.
It's good for her because she needed the money.
Yeah, Weight Watchers. Right. Weight Watchers declined to comment. Winfrey said she was just balancing her investment portfolio. You kidding me? So, I mean, just paying half attention here, we're talking a couple of $100 million.
Sure. Sure. You can buy a lot of cupcakes with that. You can eat a lot of pasta for $110 million.
Weight Watchers shares fell 3.9% this morning in pre-market trading after tumbling 4.3% yesterday.
Because now Oprah's out. People, I guarantee you people.
What does she know? What does she know?
Honestly, I guarantee you people signed up for Weight Watchers just because Oprah signed up for Weight Watchers.
Oh, yeah. No question.
And the power of her name still holds. I don't know if it holds over to the movie screen, but.
The deal is that you got to sell when she sells.
Sure.
And
sure.
That ship has sailed.
Ah. Well, good for her.
Come on.
What? Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Good for her.
I wish that for everybody. You buy low, you sell high. I hope every... Paul J., I hope you get to sell all of your shares and whatever stock it is that you own for $110 million.
See, here's the deal.
Huh?
We'd never do it. Well, A, we don't have the money.
No.
And B, we don't have the courage.
Well...
Money gives you courage.
Yeah. But some people have courage and no money, and they become rich.
Yeah.
Some people know how to work that system. I don't. I barely know how to turn the microphone on.
Man, that is incredible.
At least I have working email. So life for me is good. Paul J's email hasn't been working for the past 4 days, and I'm just going to keep on I'm just going to keep on needling
this. I mean, the IT guys, National Cumulus IT guys, all know me by name. They all know me.
He's called IT so many times. They've actually just told him, okay, here.
Here's how you do it.
Here. We're not supposed to tell anybody else this.
But you do it. Here.
But here's how you can basically unlock everybody's email.
Without bothering us. So,
Paul's the new IT for Cumulus Police.
Paul J's the new IT guy.
I spent like an hour with Neil yesterday from basically 10 to 11.
Uh-huh.
Last email I got was at 10:48. That's just stupid.
And if you want to see the vein on his forehead pop out.
Every day when I come in.
He shoots me this look. And I just, don't tell me your email's not looking. And I said it this morning.
You were kind of joking this morning.
I said it joking this morning. I was like, oh, let me guess, your email's not working. And he looks at me and goes, no. Oh, boy. He calls up IT. I'm watching this the whole time. He calls up IT. Hey, I'm locked out of my email. No, you're not. And at that point, he had to walk out of the room.
It didn't work, Neil.
To commence a swearing fit that would have made most people in radio blush. I can't repeat it. I can repeat some of the words. Listen, you. And then I can't. Then there was a couple of expletives that were out of my expletive email isn't working. That's why I'm calling you. For the fourth day in a row. Every sentence ended with the fourth day in a row, by the way.
Yeah, and after 20 minutes, the guy goes, I'm going to tell you how to unlock.
Now they're sending Paul J to the now they're sending Paul J to the Bay Area. He's going to be taking classes at Facebook, Google. He's going to learn how to rewire everything.
Oh, man.
By the time you're done with this, you might own 10% of Cumulus.
The guy hinted that somewhere I own a Samsung device.
Well,
I got a Samsung phone.
Okay.
But that's not it. But the somewhere at home, somewhere there's a Samsung device that's throwing out bad passwords.
You leave.
But I haven't had anything at home that I've turned on in the last 3 years.
Also a wonderful razor for everybody. And everybody out there can kind of connect with you on some degree on this because it's happened to everybody who works at a company. None of this was an issue last week. None of this was an issue until the company sent out some edict says everybody has to change their email passwords. Why? Because we said just everybody do it. And we keep on asking why, but they keep on not telling
us. Did you ever hear me complain about my password before then?
No. I know to stay away from, I can't help but say, hey, how is it? I want to check in on you on a regular, like I'm checking on your health. Hey, how's your email? Is your email okay?
It's just stupid now.
Is your email okay?
It's reached a level of stupidity.
He's on painkillers for this.
Time to check the traffic for the last time today. Does make it sound like I'm dying. Dying. This is the last traffic report I'll ever do with Ron. Ron, take it.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Or now. You can talk to me now or you can talk to me then. Nate Shellman here, filling in for Chris Walton, who's on vacation on his couch.
Sleeping blissfully, knowing his email works.
Or does it? That's their true question.
See, the thing is Chris Walton doesn't care.
Do you hear what Neil just said?
No.
Whatever device you were using at 8:38 has a corrupted password.
He was on the phone with the IT department!
And that would be this. That would be my station computer, right?
This is why people snap. Honestly, this is why people lose their feeble minds and just pop off.
I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore.
All right. By the way, we haven't talked about this off air or on air, so I'm just going to say this to you.
Hey.
We're going to make an announcement on Friday during the morning show for a station event coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make an announcement on Friday.
On Friday. They say the neon lights.
What time you want to do that? Sometime in the 9 o'clock hour?
Yes.
Sometime. What do you say we do it at 9:30 right after the 9:30 news on Friday?
Okay.
Big announcement.
Big announcement.
After the 9:30 news.
Huge announcement.
Yes. It's to my knowledge, and I haven't been here forever. This will be a first time in 10 years that we've done this while I've been here. You'll let me know if it's the first time we've ever done this.
Are we giving away the city of Caldwell again?
No, not again. Okay. No, it didn't work out so well last time.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, because the people that won it were supposed to build a jail.
They didn't get it done.
When we come back next hour, I want to talk about a bill that failed out of the Idaho legislature. Mm. And you've seen the headline all around. Idaho Statesman headline, House votes to let domestic abusers keep their gun rights in Idaho. It's a bill that House members voted on. 39-31 kept it from going through and moving to the Senate. This would have kept those convicted of misdemeanor domestic abusers from owning guns after their sentence was up for 2 years. And we'll talk more about this, but one of the reasons it failed, and everybody who voted against, everybody who voted in the 39, everybody who voted against it was a Republican. In the 31, there were some Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, it was Christy Perry who we had, had on the station yesterday.
Right.
She owns a gun store with her husband, Buckhorn Gun and Pawn.
Yeah.
She voted. She was one of the 31 that voted to keep domestic abusers from owning guns. And the question I want to ask, and I like asking questions because I don't want to get caught up in the whole rhetoric of, oh, take everybody's guns and, you know, big gun grab. Should those who are convicted of domestic abuse, and then they break it down into felony and misdemeanor, but even misdemeanor domestic abuse, should they lose their gun rights for 2 years? As we identify what kind of person we do and don't want to have unfettered access to a firearm, should we include the misdemeanor convicted domestic abuser? Because domestic violence, it's nothing to laugh at.
No.
It's not a small issue.
No, and even the misdemeanor guys, many of them are on their way to becoming felony guys.
Right, right.
It's a pattern that seldom reverses itself.
I'll start that conversation, get you on the lines, 208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone, 1-800-529-KBY. This bill is already done for the session, but I'm asking you, as an Idahoan, would you be okay with convicted domestic abusers for losing their gun rights for 2 years after they were done finishing their sentence? Your calls after news.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back. It's 9:06. Lisa's been hanging on. For some reason, throughout the news.
Who shouldn't be able to have a gun?
Yeah.
Who shouldn't be able to have a gun? Should those convicted of domestic violence be prevented from...
Even misdemeanors.
Even misdemeanors. Be prevented from their gun rights for 2 years after they're let out, after they're done with their sentence. That's the question. 208-336-3700. That bill failed yesterday in the Idaho House.
Lisa, what do you think?
Absolutely. I'd like to see that go through. I was disappointed. My daughter was in a domestic abuse situation for years, and he used to sleep with a loaded gun on his chest and threatened her with it all the time. And it's a known fact that these people are, there's a very small percentage that can be rehabilitated. So I'm really disappointed, and I hope we revisit that as a state.
When somebody says that, well, they've done their time, they've paid their debt, they shouldn't lose their constitutional right, what's your answer to that as the mom of a domestic abuse victim?
Yeah, and with grandchildren in the home, I'd say they lost their right with their behavior. That, like I say, the percentage that can be rehabilitated and that actually change is really, the WCA will tell you it's about 5%. So, I think we need to really continue on this path.
What happened in your daughter's situation?
You know, it was sad because we are a family that has absolutely no experience with this, and she was kind of a atypical, shy, you know, complacent young woman who was primed for this type of guy. And she was in and out of this relationship for years. We tried and tried to, you know, solidify that. Also, I was going to say, it can be really tough to get them convicted. We were not successful in that, and there were numerous times when, you know, to us it was clear, but again, we didn't even know how to navigate through it. We had no experience with it. So we reached out, and I will just throw out kudos to the WCA. They were extremely helpful. She would not be where she is today. She has a master's, and she's out of that relationship, and I'm so grateful to the WCA.
Very cool.
Glad it turned out okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
So thanks, guys.
You bet.
And again, this isn't for accused.
No.
Domestic violence. This is for convicted. And the bill, as it was written, would have made it Gosh, they would have lost their right to possess a firearm within 2 years of the convictions of the crime. Now, here's the weird part about it, about this bill. It didn't instruct those convicted domestic abusers to turn the guns in they already own. It would have required an honor system.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if that goes far enough. If you lose the right to possess a gun, somebody, like the somebody from the state, should be able to go in and determine whether or not you have possession of any firearms in the house. Mm-hmm. Probation exists. And it exists for the specific reason to make sure that while you're out, that while you're among society, you do have to walk a certain path. You have to behave a certain way. I've known, I have a friend of mine that's a PO, okay? It's not me. But I have a friend of mine. There are a number of restrictions that are on. I mean, outside of the normal ones, you can't do drugs. There are, in probation terms, can't go to a bar, can't even drink alcohol, okay? Cannot imbibe alcohol. Some people who have served felonies lose their right to vote. They can still go to work, you know, get a job, go to work, pay rent. If they can afford TV and they want to buy, go to a movie, they can go to a movie if they want to. Just, you know, can't own a firearm, can't vote. That's part of their probation. So for somebody who's committed an act, a violent act against somebody else, whether it reached the level of felony or misdemeanor, of the people that I wouldn't want to have unfettered access to purchase a weapon, I would put this in that category.
Yeah.
Okay, there are certain people out there. This, I'm not advocating a gun grab. Okay, I'm not saying okay, this isn't this certain type of gun. No, what kind of person? What kind of person do we want to identify?
Well, people always say you got to start with mental illness and people with problems in their mind maybe shouldn't own firearms, and. Now, this bill is introduced. They just passed one similar to this in Utah. This bill is introduced and is defeated and is kind of the first step in identifying mental illness and guns. And so
anger issues could be, you know, I would say is up there with
part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
There are people out there that just can't handle their anger.
Yep.
I would put there, I don't know what the term is for that. They just have anger issues.
Representative Brian Zollinger of Idaho Falls said statistics show if people want to have access to a gun, they will. There's no way for us to enforce this law. So he voted against it.
But there is a way to enforce that law.
Yes.
That's the thing. There is a way to enforce.
Absolutely.
Probation officers exist. Police officers exist. Background checks at gun stores exist. There are ways in the system we already have to enforce these rules and enforce these laws. And listen, he's right on the general sense that if somebody wants to go out and break the law,
steal one or whatever, get one somehow.
Yeah, if I want to walk out the front door and I want to buy heroin, I'm confident in my abilities. I will have heroin in my hand by the end of the day.
Sure.
Okay. If I want to go out and break the law and go ahead and just do that, that doesn't mean heroin shouldn't be illegal. Now, I don't have the right to heroin. Okay. There are certain probatees that lose their right to vote. There are certain probatees that have to stay a certain way around a school. They can't travel wherever they want to. We put limitations on people's rights all the time after their convictions.
True.
You can email me, nate@kboi.com, because my email works. James in Boise emails me and says, Nate, have you read the 2008 Supreme Court decision that gives all Americans the right to own guns? I did. Was surprised to find it was a 5-4 decision. Hardly the blanket protection for gun ownership that the NRA and adamant gun rights people claim. James, I'll point out that a 5-4 decision is just as good as a 9-0 decision.
Yep.
It's a victory.
Yeah, it's like a baseball game. Who won?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the score was. Although the decision written by the originalist judge Antonin Scalia gives Americans the right to own guns for personal defense, it also states, like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. and it is not to right to keep and carry a weapon whatsoever in any manner whatsoever and for whatever purpose. Nothing in our opinion should be taken to cast down on longstanding prohibitions on the possessions of firearms by felons and the mentally ill, or laws forbidding the carrying of firearms in sensitive places. And again, this isn't about that. This is about what kind of person should lose their ability to own a gun, lose their ability to possess a firearm.
Yeah.
And for me, somebody...
by basically not obeying the law.
James continues, it's a shameless... the shameless, horrible majority in the Idaho legislature has put women and children in further danger while ignoring the right it has to increase the safety of all citizens by constitutionally limiting the Second Amendment. So, where do you stand? I don't want everybody to lose. This isn't about what kind of weapon. This isn't about bump stock. This isn't about automatic versus semi-automatic versus single shot. This isn't about any of that stuff.
18 to 21, nothing.
And this isn't about age limits. No. Should those convicted of a misdemeanor domestic violence charge lose their right to own or possess a firearm within 2 years after their conviction? 208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone. 1-800-529-KBOI. And you can email me, nate@kboi.com. I can get that email via the internet, which works on my computer. Your calls, emails, also text us, 208-336-3700. Your calls, emails, texts. Do you want to take the gun rights away from that person?
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Nate Schoen filling in for Chris Walton, who's on vacation this week, sitting alongside Paul J., Idaho Talks Live.
Hola.
It's been fun. Yeah. I've had fun. I don't know if you're having fun.
Talking today about whether misdemeanor domestic violence convicted people should have guns. The bill was proposed after two young Idaho women told a story of how their father murdered their mother, shot her to death in front of one of her children after he'd been charged with felony domestic violence. He pleaded the felony down to a misdemeanor. Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue, who handled the case, joined Wintrow in pressing for the bill, saying people who beat their wives and girlfriends and threaten them with dangerous weapons shouldn't have dangerous weapons. This is a helpful tool for law enforcement to keep people safe. What do you think?
208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon wireless phone.
Idaho Freedom Fighters Foundation said the gun grabbers are coming. Be careful. They see everything basically as a gun grab. Let's go to John in Boise. John, good morning.
Wow, good morning, guys. See, they're playing. I've called in before on several things kind of like this.
Sure.
It's an attempt to undermine our Constitution with our Constitution. This is nothing more than this bill, from what I understand, but it's nothing more than a stand down by the deep state. I'm not a conspiracy theorist necessarily, but I do think there is a fast and furious underwritten law started by the Obama administration that continues to this day. And every time one of these issues comes up, it seems to be someone somewhere dropped the ball where they could have solved the problem and didn't. And then the answer to that is to go ahead and take everybody's gun away from them as well. It's an all-or-nothing game that they're playing, and we have to identify what the real problems are. And the people who, you know, are upstanding citizens, are gun owners, need to take ownership of that.
But we're not talking, this is where I cut you off, because this bill doesn't talk about taking the guns away from everybody. It's not talking about fine, upstanding citizens. It's talking about convicted misdemeanor domestic abusers. Convicted.
Not yet, it isn't.
I can only go on the words on the page.
Well, look at the evidence, fast and furious.
Should convicted domestic abusers have guns?
They don't anyway. I mean, they don't. No, they shouldn't. But that's not the point, is it?
No, that actually is the point. That's the bill that was being debated.
No.
You want to make the point in a complete... You do want to make it a conspiracy, because you said deep state. So,
yes.
There you go.
You
They're just talking about domestic abusers.
Do you want evidence or not?
I'm talking about domestic abusers.
Do you want evidence or not?
And you already agreed.
No, I do, but there's evidence to what I'm saying.
Good for you. I'm talking about the bill that failed yesterday.
Well, unless you understand what you're talking about, you're not able to even vote on a bill.
I understand what I'm talking about.
No, you don't.
You already voted yes to the bill that failed yesterday.
I know what I'm talking about. I know that will help. But you think you're solving a problem from the backside, and you're not. You're exacerbating the problem. You understand that the point of this whole thing, this whole discussion, is to take guns away from everybody. And whether the bill says it or not is irrelevant. That's what it's for. There shouldn't have been. It's already a law. If you threaten your wife, that your guns are confiscated. That's already a law. You don't need to make another law to do the same thing. So why is the reason for another law? Just to change things up, to shake things up, so other points of view can come into that law.
All right, we already gave Paul Jay a migraine, by the way.
And my point of view, my test case for this is the shooting at the church in Texas. The guy had an AR-15. He came out of the Air Force. The Air Force dropped the ball and didn't take his weapon away from him. And domestic violence was his problem. And not only that, but the head of the Air Force, the general in charge, is appointed by Obama for that very purpose.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, John. I had a little trouble following that because he is adding words or intent to the law that aren't there.
Right.
They simply aren't there.
He's saying this is the start of a bigger problem to come, which he's not the only one that believes that. There are a number of people that believe that. If I could predict the future, I probably wouldn't be guest hosting for Chris Walton today.
No. You'd be Swami somebody somewhere.
Probably answering emails on my email. That works. nate@kboy.com. Your calls, 208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone. Got some text messages here. Ooh, look, I have some emails. I got emails from Ron and from Dan.
It's time to take a break. All right, we are back. Nate Shellman in for Chris Walton this morning.
We do have text messages on the Diamond Heating and Cooling text line. I'm wondering why the bill to revoke owning a gun to convicted domestic violence criminals did not pass. Was there a smaller bill attached at the end that wasn't agreeable? No. I understand a lot of bills get other bills. There was no bootstrapping on that.
Nope, they do it a lot.
Oh, and yes, I think we should pass a bill to take guns away from convicted abusers.
You know, and one of the problems and one of the fears of people who voted against this bill is that they will be labeled as against the Second Amendment.
I'm not against the Second Amendment. I'm against those who break the law.
But that's not the way it would be presented if you were running for office.
Right.
Yeah. Nate Shellman voted against the Second Amendment rights.
I want to
carry a gun.
Yeah, I want to keep guns out of convicted abusers' hands.
But you voted against the Second Amendment.
For convicted abusers. Yes, I did.
Yeah, but they don't put that in there.
If Joey Snicklefritz is out there just eating Cheetos, not breaking the law, wants to own 40 guns, I don't care about Joey Snicklefritz or how many guns or what kind of guns he has. He's not breaking the law.
But if he points them at his wife and pulls back the hammer and threatens her, that's a different story.
He should lose all of his guns and become somebody's girlfriend in jail.
Ooh. Let's go to John of Boise. John.
Hey, morning.
Morning.
Now, I kind of understood what that guy was saying earlier.
Okay.
And you're talking about the law. The prosecutor, isn't he the one who determines is it a felony or a misdemeanor?
You know, you might be right in that. You know, in the charge, I think too.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah.
There
are categories.
If somebody's beating somebody, assault is 5 years. You might not serve full 5 years, but it is 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if the prosecutor isn't going to hit you with an assault, then whose fault is it?
That would
a good point.
You mean a felony or a misdemeanor?
Right. Yeah, felony. Assault is a felony.
Right. That would be the prosecutor.
Right.
Should somebody who threatens somebody with weapons, should somebody who threatens somebody else domestic violence misdemeanor.
Yeah, when does it become assault? Is it the hint of an assault or an actual assault?
Hands on is an assault.
I don't know where the threshold is for felony versus misdemeanor.
But if you got somebody pointing a gun at you and
that can be an assault.
I would think so. Even if
should that person lose their gun?
Do they have the ability to carry out that threat? If somebody's breaking into my house, they have an ability to carry out a threat. I can shoot them. I don't care if they're armed or not. I'm not going to ask them.
All right.
If they have the ability to do so, you have a right to defend yourself.
Okay. And again, we're crossing into castle law. We're crossing into stand your ground. This is domestic.
If you threaten your wife with a weapon,
that would be at least a misdemeanor assault. Okay?
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
Let me make one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing and I'll go. Because I say it's up to the prosecutor, period. He's the one.
Okay.
The guy up north, his wife tried to get a bill introduced on Stand Your Ground. You brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be serving a full 10 years on his first-degree murder charge of an individual who broke into his house, as I understand, and was choking, and he was able to get his gun and kill the guy.
Right. Different issue.
Why? What?
Different issue, and whoever was representing that guy was an awful lawyer.
The prosecutor charged him with first-degree murder. That's my point.
Uh-huh. And whoever represented the guy was an awful lawyer.
Oh, yeah. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
But my point is, the prosecutor, if you're a domestic violence and you do a violent thing, then the prosecutor should charge you for it. Anyway, that's all.
Got it.
All right, thanks. Wow. It was all again the prosecutor. Let's go to Jim of Nampa. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI.
How are you doing, guys? Good to talk to you this morning.
You too.
I have a question for you. Okay, first of all, I'll just chime in because this is your topic. But on the domestic, you know, as a misdemeanor, the problem that I have with this scenario is that you can be charged with something that never happened and have to defend yourself in court, because just charging somebody with, you know, assault or domestic battery or whatever, mm-hmm. puts you in the target pairs, and you got to go in and defend yourself and, you know, prove yourself innocent beyond reasonable doubt. It happened to me years ago where I was charged with something that didn't happen. It took me 5 months in court, and I ended up with a misdemeanor disturbing the peace plea out, you know, with some ramifications, but it had a withheld judgment, and it never happened. So, you know, the problem that I have is that if somebody wants to hurt somebody, they're going to hurt somebody regardless of whether it's legal or not.
Most of the people who voted against this bill said the exact same thing.
Well, that's the thing. The weapon doesn't matter. If somebody wants to abuse somebody or kill somebody or hurt somebody, they're going to use whatever's around, a hammer, a knife, whatever.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter whether they have guns or not. And just being convicted of a misdemeanor, you know, assault charge, doesn't mean you're necessarily guilty, just like the guy up north.
Actually, convicted does. And we can make excuses. By the way, on that case, you are getting one side of the issue. I don't know what the other side is. You have somebody saying that there was an overzealous prosecutor, and I don't know what the other side is. From what it sounds like, it does sound like it was overzealous, and it does sound like the guy was underrepresented. But ultimately, that person was convicted, found guilty. You were talking about being charged. I've said convicted the entire time. Convicted abusers. Should convicted abusers lose the ability to own a firearm? Yes or no?
Well, I guess the question is...
I just asked you the question.
I understand what you're saying.
So answer the question. Should convicted abusers lose the ability to own a firearm?
I say no, because it doesn't change anything. Even if they're not allowed to have a gun, they can still do it with any other thing. A yard rake, a shovel, it doesn't matter what it is. And if somebody wants to do it, they're going to illegally acquire a gun, most likely anyway, and do it with a gun. So they broke laws just like every other shooting. There's many laws that are already broken before anything happened. So, but on a different note, good luck with that one. But on a different note, I have a question about background checks with you guys. So in this valley, I have purchased over 3-4 guns in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now, every single time I go in to do it, I fill out the background check information, they send it in, they call it in, it gets delayed. Okay? Now, the delay system is, there's some kind of flag in the system that shows we need to look at it closer. And the way the law is set up, when you do a background check, the feds have 3 days to finish that background check. If they don't complete it and give you a yes, no, whatever, in 3 days, the law says that an FFA dealer can transfer the weapon to you. That's how I get the gun. I have to wait the 3 days, and then I get the gun. Now, I have never, in any of the guns that I've purchased, ever got a completed background check. I've never got a yes. I've never got a no. It just delays me. They give me the gun after 3 days, and I have it, but I never get a letter in the mail that says, hey, this is why you were delayed. It's never been answered, and nobody has an answer for it.
Not even the guy selling you the piece?
No, I've called them back later and said, did you ever get an answer? And they say, no, we never got an answer. So my problem with the background check system is, yeah, it's a law and you have to have one. But in my personal experience, I've never had it completed. I mean, if you go to get a credit card and you apply for it and they deny you, they're required by law to send you a letter that explains why they denied you. But for some reason, with the background check system, I have never gotten a definitive answer. Yes, no, maybe, nothing.
Well, guess what? You're not going to get one from us either. We have, neither one of us have any idea.
Don't have a clue.
We don't sell guns.
Very interesting, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. It's 9:47.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:52. Should convicted, not only felons, but misdemeanor domestic violence folks be able to have guns?
Brian in New Plymouth emails me, because my email works, nate@kboi.com. It says, change the law to make, no, you're number one. Change the law to make those convicted abusers felons. Keep the threshold at felons to put the burden on the courts to take the guns away. If the abusers are so bad, they should be felons. Well, there are different levels of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Should even the misdemeanor abusers lose their weapons?
Yeah, or should people who have used guns in abuse for threats or whatever, should that make it a felony? And I think it should.
I have a category in my head. Bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Felony abusers, domestic abusers, fit in the category of bad people.
They do indeed. All right, Rick, take us home. Rick, good morning.
Hey, I'm kind of calling about if you wanted a gun, you could always look in the newspaper or the big nickel. Cash is cash. You know what I'm thinking?
You've got a good point.
And the other one I want to make, and this is just a slight deviation, wouldn't it be interesting, having done 20 years in the Navy and knowing very, very good friends that were Navy SEALs, wouldn't it be interesting if these kids knew that they had a couple retired special forces, be it Green Beret, Rangers, SEALs, in the classroom or in the schools with a couple laser lights on their guns? They're well known to be accurate. They're SEALs. They're special forces. And where the red dot goes, the bullet does too.
Fascinating. Should a convicted domestic abuser have access to firearms?
Have access. He has access. You can background check and do all that, or you can go in the newspaper, the big nickel, anywhere you want to get a gun.
So should he lawfully be able to have a gun? Should a convicted domestic abuser lawfully be able to have a gun? Yes or no?
Felon or misdemeanor?
Misdemeanor abuser. Domestic abuser. Convicted. Yes or no?
I think there should be a limit of time, 10 years or something, and two. Then reevaluate.
Yeah, yeah. The limit was 2 years, and yeah. That didn't pass.
No. Well, then it's not going to pass, because that's the answer.
Interesting, okay. Though, you would have voted for it.
Yep.
I would have voted for it with a much longer time span.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Good stuff. Thanks, Rick. We are out of time.
Man. Oh, I get to do this again.
I think you talked Rick into his answer.
I didn't know. I did not lead the witness. No. I reject that. I just asked him to come back to the platform to which we were discussing.
So he thinks it should be longer than 2 years. He might be right.
Remember, if you call Rush, if you get on the air with Rush, you get a pizza from Idaho Pizza Company and a pizza from Paul J. Schneider.
That's right. I got you.
Same if you call in on Savage. Get a pizza. Call him.